Listen up, hockey fans. You're in the right place. A no-holds-barred debate between two hockey fans. Stay up to date with current NHL news, even the controversial. Welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts, Brad Brood and Blake Friars.
Good evening and welcome to the Debate Hockey Podcast as we are in December now, Christmas month, as we record on a Sunday night. We usually do this on Monday nights, but I have a prior commitment tomorrow evening, so we're talking hockey on a Sunday evening. I am the host of the show, Brad Rude, joined alongside my co-host, Blake Friars. Blake, how was your weekend?
It's pretty good. Went up to Regina yesterday, did some shopping, but we went to Costco. I went to the mall, then hurried back and did some color for the Bruins and the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. So that was a lot of fun, and I've been doing that. I've done it six times this year, so it's good.
I want to know how fired up you are, because I'm still laughing about it. Is Vancouver's putting Luongo in the Ring of Honor, and I saw you blew a gasket over that.
That's a joke.
Why?
I don't really know. There's no other ways to go about it. I mean, he should have his jersey retired.
Why?
He's the best goalie in Canucks history.
I don't know. Kirk McLean.
Okay. Anyways, go compare stats. Not even close. Luongo was just as important as the Twins, in my opinion. I mean, he was the guy that set the standard for Canucks goaltending in 06, right from the start. His first year, he had started 76 games, had 49 wins, should have won the Vezina, probably should have won the Hart that year, too. He was that good. And the Canucks were a goalie graveyard before that. Before he got there, and he just elevated that position, and Canucks fans haven't had to worry, well, other than this year, but about that position in a long time. But yeah, I think his jersey should be retired. He's the best Canucks, one of the best Canucks of all time. Stats back it up. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. I mean, Kirk McLean isn't even a Hall of Famer. That can be a debate in itself, whatever. Maybe he shouldn't have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, but he was. And he should have his jersey retired. I think the Ring of Honor is great for players like Alex Burrows, who are fan favorites and who are good players, but not good enough to have their jersey retired. Luongo's not in that class. He's in a class of his own when it comes to goaltending in Vancouver. He is. It's not even close.
Evidently not according to the Vancouver Canucks.
No, they get a lot of things wrong. They haven't done a lot of things right lately, so it doesn't surprise me.
Brady Tkachuk, Jacob Trouba fight the other night. A classic tilt.
Yeah, classic tilt. Two captains, center ice on Broadway. Can't get much better than that. And then he follows it up, scoring his 100th career goal for the OT winner. So
Gordie Howe hat trick for Tkachuk.
Gordie Howe hat trick. Yep, that was a pretty cool night for Tkachuk.
What was your thoughts on the Jack Edwards, Patrick Maroon?
Well, how long have you been doing this podcast for?
This is year what, six?
Six. So you know my stance on Jack Edwards pretty well.
Why does he still have a job?
I'll tell you what. I just had a job in the BCHL. If I said something like that, I would have got fired that right after.
And I'm not, I don't really, I'm not.
Right after, I just like.
Okay, I don't.
I don't understand how he does this all the time.
And like, I'm not part of the fire a guy because he called somebody fat. I'm not part of that. But it's
not the first time.
No, he's unprofessional on a weekly basis.
Listen,
and I don't understand.
He works for Nesson. I understand that he's a home broadcaster, so you can be biased. And I like.
But you have to be professional, though.
Yes. And he just kept going on and on and on and on about Maroon. Like, buddy, like, what are you? Like, Maroon wasn't even on the ice, and he's talking about him. Like, I don't know, man. It's like how this man, he's just so unprofessional. And like, and I respect his passion, and he calls a pretty good game when he's got his head screwed on straight. But I don't know, like he's just, and like people were on him. Like media members, players, and Pat Maroon donated $2,000 in his name. That was pretty funny. But yeah, I don't know. It's I don't know how to explain this anymore with him. It's
unprofessional. That's how you explain it. Wild game this week. Kings Kraken 9-8, and I didn't watch this. I was laying in bed. I saw the score. I saw it was a high scoring game. I was laying there. Wow. I couldn't fall asleep,
it's
and I kept
three
watching
after one.
I'm like watching my phone. I'm like, what in the hell?
Yeah, it was. Like, I don't even know how to explain that. Like, that's just a game where you just had to be there to believe it, you know?
Six like, goals in the first, eight goals in the second.
It was 3-3 after the first, and the goalie's probably thinking, get me the hell out of here right now. Like, it's just a gong show.
Crazy. Were you a Mighty Ducks guy when you were a kid?
Oh yeah, big Mighty Ducks.
Did you watch the movie though?
Well, that was a little bit before my time, but yeah, that's I'm a big Mighty Ducks fan.
Did you see that Disney Plus has the new Mighty Ducks?
Yeah, Game Changers. I watched the first season. It was okay. They had their little tidbits to like throwing back to the old. Like they had some of the characters come in the show, and Gordon Bombay was in the show in the first season, and he's not in the second season anymore. I don't think. Like I don't know what happened. They must not come to terms. But yeah, it's okay. It's not.
I have
terrible.
I have not watched it, but I did see that my ex hockey teammate and former classmate is the head coach in the show.
Really,
Josh Duhamel, the actor.
Oh, okay.
He is the head coach in the show.
Well, he was, he went to Minot State, did he not?
Yeah, and Minot High.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's interesting because I played hockey with him growing up, so.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Interesting to see him playing that role. I haven't watched it yet, though, and I probably won't. I never was a big Mighty Ducks. I was old. I never got into that crap, so. No? I've seen them. I mean, my kids watched them, but, like, I don't know. I never got into it. Let's put it that way. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the Pacific Division and the goalie struggles in that division because from top to bottom, -1, it's a mess. I don't even know how else to talk about that. Then we'll go around the league, talk about Binnington. He's just a complete nut job. Ovi's record, Letang's medical scare. The Yotes maybe have a new home. I don't know. At least who the hell knows? They're moving in the right direction. And Brock Besser, I don't know what happens with Brock Besser. Well, we're going to find out from Blake. He'll tell us what's going to happen with Brock Besser. Blake, I have no other way to describe the Pacific Division goaltenders other than Sifs.
Yeah,
it's a whole new level.
I was looking at the stats today, preparing for the show, and I was just shaking my head. It's just like I don't know how to explain this. It just makes no sense. Like proven goalies that have established themselves the last few years, like Markstrom, Demko was, if not the best goalie in the second half last year, he was top three. And this year he's just struggled like there's no other. And Markstrom, I mean, you probably heard Markstrom's comments. I mean, he said he sucks at hockey right now. I mean, you don't want your players to be saying that. I mean, that means he has no confidence in himself.
Well, Blake, that's pretty evident, right?
No, I know that, but it's like.
So what does it matter if he says it?
That's just like as, if you're a fan of the Flames, you're like, Jesus, like, is this guy going to get his mojo back?
No. I don't know. No, you know what you are? You're like, good grief. At least we have a goalie that's honest.
At least he's honest. But, like, I wouldn't worry too much about Markstrom, though. Like, he's an ultra-competitive guy. He wants to win. He wants to play every game. But right now, the best thing to do for Calgary is let Dan Vladar run with the net.
Vladar's been unreal.
Let him get his game. Vladar is more than capable of playing 3, 4, 5 in a row.
He's played four of the last six.
Let him play. Let Markstrom get some reps in with the goaltending coach and let him figure it out. I'm sure he'll find his game again. Just like, I don't know.
I'm not worried about it, and here's why I'm not worried about it. Because Markstrom's a mature athlete in the fact that he's honest about his play of late. And then last night, Vladar goes out, wins the game, and has a great night. And the guy at the end of the line smiling and laughing it up with him and having a great time is Jacob Markstrom.
Yeah, he's a great teammate.
And you can't get any better than that.
And Demko was the same way with Martin. Martin was winning all his games, and Demko was the first guy to comment, right, in the media. You know, he's saying that I haven't been playing great, but Marty's been on a roll, and he's given us the best chance to win right now. So, I wouldn't worry about Markstrom at all. I mean, he's been in the league for almost 10 years. So,
you look at the list of goals. Saturday morning, I ran the top 75 goaltenders that's how many goalies have played this year is 75. And yeah. I ran the list and I highlighted all of them in the Pacific Division, and in the top 30, there's two.
Yeah,
and I mean, to look at this.
You look at the bottom 10. I bet you there's two in the Pacific. I bet you Jack Campbell and Demko are both there.
The bottom 10.
They got to be in there.
Well, there's five of them in the bottom 10. Six of them in the bottom 10.
Yeah, it's.
So look at this. Anaheim. They don't have a goalie with a save percentage over .90. Calgary has one, Dan Vladar, .913. LA, nobody over .90. San Jose has Reimer at .903. Seattle, who's great this year, having a great record. They have no goalie over .900. Vancouver had one, Martin's right on it, .990. And then Vegas has two, Thompson's .92, by far the best goalie in the Pacific. And Aiden Hill is at a .903, which isn't very impressive. It's crazy to me. And so then I thought, well, I'm going to run some numbers here and see how they compare to the rest of the league. The starting goalies, who we would classify as the starting goalies, and I'll rattle them off quick. Gibson, Markstrom, Campbell, Quick, Reimer, Grubauer, Demko, and Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
.891 save percentage. 3.37 goals against average.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yes, that's the Pacific. Now, all the goalies combined, that's the starters and the backups, all the goalies in the Pacific have a .899 and a 3.28. Yeah. Still not very good. Now, the league, I ran the whole league. Now, this includes the Pacific Division goalies. It's a .903. 3.03 goals against average. Now, you take out the Pacific Division, and your save percentage goes up to a .906 and a 2.95 goals against average.
Yeah, like I don't put too much stock in the goals against, though. I think like
that's it's save percentage is what it comes down to.
That's a team stat. I mean, the most important stat for goalies is save percentage. Wins is a team stat. Your expected saves, I mean, I told you, what was it, 3 weeks ago, that Demko is on pace to have one of the worst analytical seasons of all time since they've started analytics. Like, it's his expected saves, I think, is like minus 13. Like, it ain't pretty. And now he's out for 6 weeks. I'm not gonna say the reason why he's having a bad season is because maybe he was playing hurt.
No, it wasn't.
But it wasn't.
It was not that.
But it would not surprise me if he was battling something.
Blake, don't make excuses.
Hold on.
The injury he had.
I'm not saying anything though, but for a guy that has had double hip surgeries, it wouldn't surprise me if the team is struggling that he wouldn't say anything and he would just continue to battle.
Blake, you saw the injury. You saw the injury. It doesn't just, yeah. You don't just tweak out like that if you're nursing an injury.
Well, no,
you either tweak out or you don't.
That tells me he maybe had a sore groin or something.
Oh my God.
Hold on. Maybe he had a sore groin and then it just goes on you. Like it doesn't take much. I mean, you're moving around so much in there, man.
All right. Leave it to a Canucks fan to find an excuse.
I'm not saying that's the reason why he sucked. I'm the first to tell you that he hasn't been good enough, but I'm saying like, if he was battling some, it would make sense.
Okay. If that makes you sleep better tonight, perfect.
I'm not saying anything. So I'm
just, you just said like, it. What do you mean? It's like, is that like punching somebody and saying, I'm not punching him, but I'm punching him.
No, but
you keep like, you keep saying, I'm not saying it, but you keep saying it. I don't understand that.
Okay.
It's called a Vancouver Canucks fan. It's typical.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is. We've watched it for decades.
Okay.
So listen to this. At the beginning of the year, we all worried about Logan Thompson. And we all said that that's our biggest worry. And who would have thought that he would be the best goalie in the Pacific at this point now? It's crazy.
It's not something that we all had in our bingo cards. I mean...
And then, you know, you look at
that's the weak, that everybody, not even just us, everybody said like that's the weakest part of their team. And it's turned out to be their biggest strength.
It's been a strength.
So,
and then you look at Seattle, who's been shocking the world and winning hockey games on a nightly basis. And they don't have a goalie that over with a save percentage of 0.90. What happens when they get one?
Seattle's an interesting team. Like it seems like whenever I watch it, they don't play much structure. They're just a run and gun team, and they're good on special teams, and they're a pretty opportunistic bunch right now,
which usually cools off.
Which makes me think that that's not sustainable.
Exactly.
Like you can only have so much fucking like timely goals and like opportunistic score. Like that, eventually that's going to dry up.
Absolutely.
And listen, I'm not taking anything away from their star. Like they've been incredible, right? I mean, what are they? They're second in the Pacific.
Yeah.
Second in the Pacific.
By a fair margin.
So let me look at the standings here.
They're second and by a fair margin. And I don't think anyone.
Yeah, there's 3 points, 3 points up on LA and 5 points up on Edmonton.
And LA is another interesting one because both of their goaltenders have been absolute junk and they still hold a third place spot.
Yeah. And they win a lot of close games and they're usually pretty high scoring. You want to talk about Kyle Pearson going on waivers?
Sure.
I mean, I was surprised. Year one of a 3 year, $15 million extension, which when it happened, we both said it's kind of ludicrous, right?
He was the guy that's supposed to take over for Quick.
Yes. And he's on waivers and now he's in the AHL trying to figure it out. And
it's the best thing that could have happened.
It makes you wonder if Edmonton would do the same thing with Jack Campbell.
Well, Jack Campbell by far has been the worst of any of the goalies. Jack Campbell's got a save percentage of .872, a 4.12 goals against average. He is the 72nd ranked goalie in the National Hockey League.
So, like, here's the thing. Like, this is where it just doesn't make sense to me. Jack Campbell's NHL career save percentage, including this year, which is .872, is .912. He's a .912 career goalie save percentage.
Yeah, so what does that tell you?
It tells me that Edmonton, A, sucks in front of him, and B, he's just having a tough season.
I agree with you. It boils down to two things to me. See, and this is kind of going off what you just said. Number one, we've watched for the last 6 years, the Edmonton Oilers have all the offense in the world, and they are atrocious defensively. Their system is not conducive to making any goalie be good. So they can say, well, we need to find...
that's been good there is Talbot. We already talked about that a couple weeks ago. 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah.
And the thing is, like, their system just is not... doesn't work. It does not work.
Okay, so here's the thing, like, this makes no sense. So we talked, like, the last 3 years, we talked about the Leafs defensively, right? We talked about, like, hey, they're not the greatest, right? But, like, Jack Campbell still had a 9.15... a 921 and a 914 in Toronto.
The only reason he's out of Toronto is because they expect irrationally stupid numbers, and they if they don't win, they just get rid of the goalie. The goalie is the kicking.
Yeah, that's the scapegoat for that organization. But he had 3 really good seasons in Toronto, like save percentage wise and goals against wise. Like I said, I don't really care about goals against, but like. For him to come into Edmonton on first year of a 5-year deal, it's just like he's gotten zero confidence. Like, that's why I think he's got to go down to the A, go down to Springfield. Stuart Skinner is the guy right now anyway. Go down to AHL, figure out your game. Nobody's going to claim that guy in waivers.
No way.
No, nobody's going to claim him. So let him go down to the AHL, start every single night, and get back your confidence. He gets it back. He gets called back up, and you hope that it changes.
So let me ask you.
What other options do you have? Because him sitting on the bench isn't going to change anything. He's got to play.
So I look at Campbell, and I look at Markstrom, and I look at Demko to an extent. I mean, their body actions, they're visibly lacking confidence, right?
Yeah, they have none.
Let me ask you this question. So Campbell, as a fairly high contract, but not ridiculously high, I wouldn't say, for a goalie of his stature, he's been a career 0.912 goalie.
Mm-hmm.
So if they put him on waivers, right, is that like a huge risk for another team to claim him? Just think about that though. Just think about it. Listen. Hear me out.
It's a huge gamble.
No, it's not. They take way bigger gambles every day signing players than that. Way bigger. If I was a Seattle Kraken, I'd claim them.
They don't have cap.
The Seattle Kraken do.
Do they have room for him?
I'll pull it up right now. I'm almost positive.
Let me go to our favorite site here. Teams. Cap friendly. So teams with $5 million. Seattle has 1.3 cap. Okay. They cannot afford. Okay. Buffalo or Arizona would definitely claim him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it that big of a risk? Like, seriously. I mean, we take bigger risks every time with all kinds of players.
But I just have a problem with signing 30 plus year old goalies for five years. It hasn't worked out.
Blake.
Like,
it does.
I don't know.
How old was Luongo?
How old is Luongo?
Was he when he retired?
38?
Yeah, 39? He was really good when he was 33, wasn't he?
Yeah.
It's different than a player.
He also signed a 12-year deal at age 27, though.
I don't care that everybody hated. The contract sucked. He even said it sucked.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, is this that big of a risk? He's going to bounce back. Okay, Jacob Markstrom, Demko, and Campbell don't just all of a sudden turn into shitty goalies.
That's what I said last week about Demko. You just don't forget how to stop pucks.
You go through ups and downs. You go through ups and downs. And goalies, you see it more than you do with players. You see it more.
Well, you see it more with goalies because it's just so much more magnified. Because it's the most important position on the team, other than a D-man and a center. But if you go down the three, goaltending is easily the most important.
Yeah,
if you don't have a goalie, you're not going to be a good team. It's just flat out.
Very few teams that have been successful with crappy goalies, minus the Seattle Kraken. And we'll see if that's sustainable. I found it interesting. Yeah. 5 of the worst 10 teams. The bottom 10 teams in the league, right, for goals against average, 5 of them are for the Pacific. And the 4 worst teams in the league for goals against average are in the Pacific Division.
Yep. It's hard to explain. It's gonna change because like these goalies aren't gonna be bad forever. I would expect Campbell, Demko, and Markstrom to all bounce back.
I think so too, but it's crazy seeing the numbers where they're at right now. And it's league-wide. There's a lot of goalies having troubles, but boy, the Pacific is in trouble as far as goaltending. Time to, we'll keep talking about goalies because we're going to talk about the craziest goalie in the National Hockey League right now. I remember everybody used to say Robin Lehner was a nut job. Jordan Binnington has completely solidified that spot as the biggest nut job goalie in the league. Earlier this week, I don't know what he was trying to do to Jordan Staal, but he went to throw a check on him and got leveled. And then back at it last night with sticking his arm out as Jason Zucker went around the net and drilled him in the face, sending him flying into the boards. And then a few minutes later, Jason Zucker scores on Binnington and chases him. And Binnington takes his mask off and chirps the bench as he goes by. And his coach, Craig Berube, was not impressed.
Yeah, I know. Berube said the antics got to stop. He's just got to play a goal and stop the puck, do his job pretty much. Listen, I'm not defending Binnington here, but Jason Zucker went down very easy behind the net. Like it was a little tap on the face, but
how do you know though?
It does not take much though to lose your balance when you get shoved.
But, and you're not expecting it?
No, for sure. But like it was, I don't know. I'm just so sick of this guy right now, man.
I don't understand why nobody has grabbed him and beat the shit out of him.
I literally told my dad that last night. I said, this guy is going to get his ass beat. You know, when he came up and won the cup, it was a cool story. We all talked about it, right? But just year after year, the antics, the swinging the stick at players and, his temper tantrums, it's just not a good look for the league. It's not a good look for the Blues. It's not a good look for young fans that want to be goaltenders. It's just not something that you like to see, and it's just got to stop because somebody is going to tune him. Like, and I'm a goalie, and I love goalies, and you know, if a goalie's out of his crease, it should be a fair game. Like against behind the net with Staal, you should be able to drill the goalie. If the goalie's going to try to shoulder check you and try to hit you, you should be able to blow right through. Why not? Right?
You know what I don't understand?
I don't know.
As I feel like, and tell me, this might sound crazy, but I do believe this. When goalies are wavering with their confidence, their own self-confidence, they do stupid things. I saw it with David Riddick in Calgary. Yeah. When they're wavering and wavering, they do stupid things. And I think Jordan Binnington has been questioning his own capabilities, and after winning a cup, I mean, he came in into this miracle run and caps it off, and kudos to him for winning the Stanley Cup. But then all of a sudden, he goes from a loner to the Providence Bruins to a Stanley Cup champion like that.
Oh, and then he gets $5 million,
and then
$25 million extension.
So then the expectations of him are to perform like a Stanley Cup champion every single game from here on out for the Blues. That's what the expectations went to. And I don't think he can do it. And I think he's losing his mind trying to do it. And that's why we're seeing this silliness.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. This shit's got to stop though. Like just everything that he does. Like he's just stop this, do your job, stop the puck, play goal, do your job. That's all he's got to do.
You know, and I think Craig Berube can curb this and stop this. And all he's got to do is say this. Listen, I'm not playing you until I'm confident that you're good in your head.
He's got to have his head on straight, because if it's not, it just hurts the Blues every time.
It does. It just does. So,
yeah.
Alexander Ovechkin breaks the Wayne Gretzky record of career road goals with his 402nd and 403rd road goal in Vancouver when they thumped him.
You couldn't have scripted it any better. As soon as I saw that tweet, I said, oh, well, he's going to score two tonight because that's usually how it goes.
And he did.
Yep. I remember last year, maybe the last 3 years, you told me that he is not breaking this record. He's not touching it. He's still on that same stance there, Brad Brood.
Yeah, I mean, it still can.
You are not. Hey, you're a liar.
He's not a young man.
Okay, he's not a young man, but you know what Ovechkin is? He is a durable man, and he don't miss hockey games. He's like,
I'll Phil give Kessel. You credit. He isn't.
Don't miss games. He don't miss games, and he's still blowing pucks past goalies at age 36.
But stuff happens, and
but he's breaking the record. There's no doubt about it.
We'll see.
Okay, he's got a contract in Washington for 5 more years. He's breaking the record.
Not worried about someone not signing him. I'm just saying, can he do it?
Okay, so
is he on pace too? Hell yeah, he is.
He's what, 96 away? Yeah. That's like 3 years.
If he can continue this pace.
That's 32 a year.
If he can stay healthy and continue this pace.
And he might score like 45 this year.
Well, we'll see.
He's going to shatter the record.
Well, we'll see.
He might score 1,000 goals.
Okay.
The Gretzky's record is 894.
He is not scoring 1,000 goals.
I would not put it past him.
We'll see.
He's the best goal scorer of all time.
We'll see.
That the NHL has ever seen.
We will see. Chris Letang out indefinitely for the Pittsburgh Penguins after a stroke. This is his second career threatening medical.
He had a stroke in 2014 too.
Yeah. I don't know how this isn't career ending. And I don't want it to be, but I'm just looking at, like, for his life. I mean, I want him to be able to be healthy outside of hockey. And
yeah, he missed 6 weeks last time he got a stroke. So, he said he's going to be back quicker than expected, but I mean, second stroke. I mean, what, he's 36. I mean, it's about quality of life at this point.
That's what I mean. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
Like he's got a young family. He's got a wife. He might have to make a decision, right? I mean, he's had a great career too.
He has. He's won cups. He's done everything.
Horses. He's won gold medals. He's pretty much accomplished everything that you could accomplish as a defenseman in the NHL. So if this is it for Letang, hell of a career.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
One of the best.
On Tuesday, I believe, the Arizona Coyotes and the Tempe City Council, not Arizona didn't get to vote, but the Tempe City Council voted 7-0 to support the Coyotes Arena and Entertainment District proposal.
It's going to a referendum now, right?
Referendum, yeah. Say that again, yeah. Blake. Do you say that differently in Canada?
Referendum. That's what I said.
Referendum. Say that again, Blake. Say that again.
Referendum. I don't know.
So what blows my mind is this. And then Bettman says that he guarantees 30 years.
Can we talk about that, please? Can we talk? Why does this guy keep going to bat for this?
Okay, so here's what I don't understand. He doesn't own the team, so how can he guarantee 30 years? So does that mean that if the owner says, peace out after 4 years, the NHL takes over?
I don't. Why does he stick his neck out for this? You know how much money his team costs Gary Bettman every year.
You know how much money it costs the frickin'. I mean, to be an owner there, you got to be dumb because you're losing money. And here's what I don't understand. Okay, so if you're on Arizona or Tempe City Council, you've looked in this 25-year debacle of owners losing money and hemorrhaging money and fans not going and why. On God's green earth, are you voting for this?
Yeah, honestly, like, I was shocked when I saw it was unanimous.
I was like, oh my gosh, this is whatever.
Like, I don't, like.
Like, whatever. I have I not know, watched, I, I've just, watched a half of an Arizona Coyotes game this year. The first night in their little tiny arena, I watched them play Winnipeg. I watched half of the game that night. I have not watched the Arizona Coyotes since.
I watched the Arizona Coyotes. I did not watch them yesterday against the Canucks because I was busy. I watched the Arizona-LA game when Vancouver is absolutely getting shit stomped by Florida. I said, you know what? I'm going to watch the Arizona Coyotes. It was actually a pretty entertaining game against the LA Kings.
Everybody against LA is entertaining now because it's all high scoring.
Yeah, exactly. High scoring affairs.
Before we move on to three questions, let's talk about Brock Besser for 1 minute here. Is he was going to be a healthy scratch last night, ended up having to play, and then gets the game-tying goal. And according to Elliot Friedman, Brock Besser's agent has been given permission by the Canucks to talk to other teams about a potential trade. Wait a minute. They just extended him, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I'm so confused, Blake. I'm so confused.
There's no doubt about it that he struggled, and the injury to his wrist didn't help at the start, right? Kind of was behind the eight ball. But, I mean, you just gave this guy a 3 years, $6.7 million extension literally right before the season.
Yeah.
And the fact that, like, and I understand what they're trying to do, right? They need to clear cap to fix the back end. They have to clear cap to fix the back end. And it's probably going to take one or two of Garland and Besser going along with Miller.
Yeah, but Canucks have been talking about trading guys all year and nobody's been traded. Yeah, all I've heard all year is Vancouver's making a trade this week. Not by you, by everybody. Vancouver's making a trade and nothing happens. Nobody wants their guys. And what's Brock Besser's trade worth right now?
What's his trade value? 2 fourths? It'd be a huge mistake to trade him. I mean,
What are you going to get?
He's a good release, right? You're a big Brock Besser fan.
I love Brock Besser. I do. He has slowed down. I will say that. I don't know why. He has slowed down.
I'll tell you why. The games got faster and he's just not that fast.
No.
Right?
He's never been.
That's been his knock. He's got a great shot, but he's not the fleetest on foot. Right?
And why did they sign him? They just signed him. Like the ink's barely dry. It happened in October. We're in December.
Yeah.
Eight weeks ago. This was their guy, man. This is their guy 8 weeks ago.
Yeah. And for Brudreau says he didn't know that it was Hockey Fights Cancer Night.
I don't care if it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night. He needs to put the best roster out there.
Huh?
I don't care. I understand Brock Besser's situation with Hockey Fights Cancer, and I feel bad for him, and I feel horrible for him and everything like that. But because it's Hockey Fights Cancer Night, you're going to put a guy in that shouldn't be in the lineup? Bullshit. You put the best lineup out every single night. I don't give a crap what night it is.
It was pretty cool, though, that he scored the game-tying goal. That was a big goal for him.
I'm a Brock Besser fan, but you got to understand. If I was Bruce Boudreau and a media guy would have asked me that question, I'd told him to shut the hell up. I put the best lineup out because I'm about to get fired.
Yeah. I mean, they were...
It's idiotic.
I got asked today, like, what is Boudreau doing playing Hughes almost 30 minutes? I said, he's got no choice. He's got to save his job.
Well, God. But like, he's got freaking the worst defense in the world.
Isn't it crazy? Okay, so Boudreau, I saw a tweet the other day. Boudreau has now coached the Canucks in 82 games. So a full season, full 82 games. He has 45 wins. And a 95 point pace for 82 games.
With a shitty lineup.
With a shitty lineup.
Like you can say
it. What does that tell you? That he's a great coach. I don't know.
I don't understand. I just, to trade him now is just, it doesn't make sense to me, but a lot of stuff doesn't make sense to me right now.
No.
All right. You ready for three questions?
Let's go.
It's time for three questions.
Last week it was my turn to ask Blake three questions. This week he fires them back at me. Question number one, go.
Jason Robertson is on an 18-game point streak. Is this guy underpaid, and where does he rank among players on your list right now?
Blake.
What? I'm asking you a question. You told me he's overpaid like 4 weeks ago.
Let's look at this. Okay. See, that's one. Here's one of the problems. Okay. So let's put this, turn this back a little bit here. So that would say then that Demko is an atrociously bad goalie.
No.
We're just looking at small windows, right? We're looking at small windows, right?
Hold on. Did you see the stat that compared McDavid and Robertson?
Since January.
152 games.
Well, how about
this? He's got 80 goals.
Yeah, I know. And he's got the most goals in the league since January 1st of last year. I understand this. I know the stats.
That's a big sample size. That's almost a year.
Okay, well, so we're going on sample sizes of a year. You're good with that then?
No, I'm not. That's all I said. But you just said small sample size. That the January to now, that's a long time.
I still consider that a small sample size.
What do you mean? That's
I consider sample sizes of 2 years. Because that would be like saying if you only judge Johnny Gaudreau on how he did last year, it would be
that's still 7 months of playing though.
Okay, listen to me, Blake. You're not hearing me out here. If you judge a player by 1 year, that's not fair. Because there was a year where Johnny Gaudreau hardly had any points, and we didn't say he was the worst player in the league. And last year he scored every night, and I don't think he's the best player in the league. There's a happy medium.
Last 2 years he has 80 goals.
Do I think Jason Robertson is doing well? Heck yeah, he's a secret killer in the league. He's great. He does it quietly. There's hardly anybody. I bet you there's four people outside of Dallas that have Jason Robertson jerseys.
I'm just saying. Under the radar, man.
Yes.
Which is odd because he's putting up other godly numbers right now.
But the fact is what I'm saying is ask me in 3 years.
Okay. All right. Okay. Luke Shen, most hits all time.
Suppose you want him in the Hall of Fame.
What are your thoughts on his career and how he had to change his game from a high pick to a depth D-man? What are your thoughts?
He's been a serviceable player his whole career.
Yeah. I was actually shocked.
That's how I would describe him. Yeah, he's not done anything great, and he has not been horrible.
Top five pick?
I don't give a shit what you're picked.
He had to adapt, though. He had to adapt.
I know. I have a question for you. How come people in the U.S. that are hockey fans completely view the draft differently than people in Canada? People in Canada are like, oh, he's a first-round pick. That means he has to do this.
No, that's not what I said.
Everybody in Calgary.
There's expectations when you're a top five pick, yes or no? And would you say, is it safe to say that Luke Shen hasn't lived up to his expectations, but he still has played almost 1,000 games? I give a lot of props to him because a lot of players like that wouldn't have lasted.
What do you mean? Was he going to quit?
No, I think a lot of people would have got ridden out of the league because they didn't live up to expectations, but he had to adapt and change his whole game.
Like Sam Bennett?
Yeah, kind of like Sam Bennett.
I'm just saying, though, like, why do you guys give a shit? After they're drafted, it doesn't matter anymore? Like, don't you want everybody to live up to be a superstar? Like, seriously. Gosh,
that's not realistic.
Well, I'm so confused. Like, I think Luke Shen has been a really decent hockey player his whole career. I've never thought he sucked, and I've never thought he was great, but he's always a guy that's like, if he was on your roster, you feel pretty safe with him.
Yeah.
And really, isn't that what meeting expectations are?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Okay, last question. What were your thoughts on the Flames retros in the live action?
The reverse retros?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, here's what my thoughts are on the reverse retros. Everybody does I don't know that everybody loves reverse retros. What I've found over the years is everybody loves heritage jerseys, bringing back an old jersey. They love it in Vancouver, right? So why are we adding fluff to shit? Why don't we just have where every year a team goes back and says, hey, let's commemorate the 1991 season, and eight games that year, or six games that year, we're going to wear our jerseys back from 1991.
Yeah.
Like the pedestal jerseys in black, I don't like as much as I liked them when they were in red. And quite honestly, when they were in red, I didn't care for them. But you know what? I like the white logo. I kind of think it would be cool to watch them again in the red. Do you know what I'm saying? Because if I remember right, the red had the white logo. It didn't have a black or didn't have.
I believe
it had a white logo. It had a white logo. So why do we keep putting fluff on shit? Why don't we just say, all right, this year?
I like the stripes though, like the
I don't where mind it goes it. Up. Yeah, the pedestal.
Yeah,
it's okay. I just look at it like Vancouver's done a fair job of it, where they've said, hey, we're gonna have. You know, we're going to wear this jersey for, you know, like, well, why does the NHL not do that and just keep selling the old jerseys? Like, if the Minnesota Wild, I think it would actually be, you know, cool if they wore the North Stars jersey.
Yeah.
You know, that's where I'm at more is just, I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel every year. Like, let's just wear vintage jersey night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I agree.
That's kind of where I'm at on that. So listener question. Corey Hackerman, he sent me this via the Facebook page. Who has been the biggest surprise player in the NHL this season?
Biggest surprise player?
I got two.
Well, I'm the number one fan of his. Tage Thompson's been really, really good this year. He's broke out, right?
I have him on my list too.
Tage Thompson for me. Who else here? Jack Hughes to an extent. I mean, he showed a little bit last year, but he's taken another step this year too. I don't know. Like
I wrote down two. I wrote Tage Thompson down, and I wrote
who
one.
You got?
I wrote down another one. Jason Robertson. I was gonna fess up.
Oh no! I gotta record this part. I gotta write this part down. 48:09.
He's admitting his mistake. He's been a surprise. I don't know if it's sustainable, but he's been very, very, very good. And I think he's not only surprised me, but I think he's surprised about every hockey fan in the U.S. and Canada this year.
Yeah. Another surprise for me would be Jack Campbell. Like I'm just surprised he's been this bad.
I kind of read the question as a positive surprise. I guess it could be negative surprises too. I guess that's.
I just can't believe he's this bad. I can't. Like I looking at his career stats to this year is like I said, it makes no sense.
Blake, before we go here, we got 2 minutes here. I'm gonna explain something. And this is just my opinion on this. I think there's a lot of systems that have been coached that have made mediocre players amazing, Martin Brodeur. And I think there's a lot of... Stop it right now.
I'm
serious. And I think there's systems out there that have made good goalies struggle miserably. I watched Devin Dubnyk struggle miserably in Arizona and then come to Minnesota overnight on the airplane ride from Arizona to Minnesota, he became a great goalie. I'm just saying systems dictate a lot about goaltending. And last year, Calgary's was very tight defensively and Jacob Markstrom was very good.
Tell me this year, Sutter, we're not playing defense. We're going to leave our goalie out to dry this year.
Calgary has been not very good defensively this year. Lots of turnovers this year. Lots and lots. And it doesn't help. It doesn't help with the goaltenders. It doesn't.
Okay, I'm not on the same page with Brodeur as you. That's ridiculous.
No, it's. You watch. A lot of guys can stop six shots a night, right? Yeah. I'm serious. Systems dictate how good goaltenders play. It's a factor. Okay. It doesn't dictate the only thing. It's a factor. So.
It's about 20% of the goalie.
Try like 60% of the goalie. Hey, hockey fans. Blake and I are back again next week on Monday night next week. Normal night. Normal great hockey talk on the Debate Hockey Podcast. Thanks. Have a good evening, everybody.
Connected to the Debate Hockey Podcast on all forms of social media. Follow the show on Twitter at Debate Hockey and follow the hosts on Twitter at Brad Brood and at Friars Blake. The Debate Hockey Podcast can also be found on Facebook, and check out the podcast website for all the current and archived shows at debatehockey.com. Get connected, stay connected for insight, opinions, and yes, controversy. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast with your hosts Brad Brood and Blake Friars. For more great content and to stay up to date, check out debatehockey.com and on Twitter at Debate Hockey. We'll catch you next time. This episode of the Debate Hockey Podcast was copyrighted and produced by the Inside Edge Hockey Media Group.